Your Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Congratulations, man. I envy you.
I just like to let it know to our listeners that most of the time when we do our cold opens, we have no idea where it's going.
And that time you clearly did not. All right, everybody, welcome to the Locked On NHL podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you for making this your first listen of the day. That is always appreciated. And it's Thursday, so Adam and I have a fresh batch of power rankings for you. Much more kind of in line than last week. I think people just were taking the week off because we were coming back from like a COVID break, and I don't think people really knew what to do with power rankings, but we have a little bit more of a robust power ranking for this week. And we just, it's hot off the press. I mean, this thing, what was posted, how long ago? A couple hours ago, if that. Yeah,
a couple hours.
So we're kind of, you know, we haven't had too long to digest it, but we'll take a look at it. Other than that, I am Chris Maselli, host of the Locked On Avalanche podcast. He is Adam Denker, host of the Locked On Lightning podcast. And you can follow the show wherever you get your podcast, as well as on YouTube, on the show's Locked On NHL YouTube channel. So follow and subscribe over there. So checking in with you, sir. I mean, really spoke to you all that, because you've had the week off, you told me. So you kind of just became a hermit for the week, and you know, you didn't really want to converse with people. You kind of just, you know, went the route of the hibernation bear. How's things going with you this week, man?
It's good. I mean, super healthy in terms of if you count sports gambling and lack of sleep and sleeping all day and eating junk food is healthy. So, you know,
it's a diet, right?
It's a diet of unhealthy things.
Right. Well, it's still a diet.
Yeah. But, well. Yeah, I think if we were going to place bets last week on how these were going to go, I think we would have done pretty well considering how the ranking shaped up this week. How are we feeling?
More movement.
Yeah, how are we feeling first impressions? Because I'm surprised more so in the fact that reason prevailed for the most part with these rankings this week. What are you thinking? Well,
You got some movement. I remember last week there was just that right column was just pretty much stagnant. Like there was almost no movement whatsoever. But that doesn't seem to be the case for this week. And if you're watching on YouTube, let's make it full screen. And there you have it for this week. So if you're not watching on YouTube, we'll run through the top 10 and then we'll kind of go through some specific teams who rose, who fell, and anybody else that we maybe were surprises. So at number one and number two, it stays the same. The Panthers at one and the Hurricanes at two. And we have movement. You have Adam's Tampa Bay Lightning moving up to number three. You have my Colorado Avalanche moving up to four. The Maple Leafs moving down to five. The Capitals moving down to six. The Rangers stay put at number seven. There's the Nashville Predators with the biggest move of the week. 17 last week was just, you know, and I'm an Avalanche fan saying that. That was sacrilegious. They move up to number eight. Vegas Golden Knights move up to nine. And the Pittsburgh Penguins move up four spots to round out the top 10. So any qualms with your top 10? People in the places they should be, people in places they shouldn't be.
I quite honestly thought that the Nashville Predators would be where the Capitals were. I think that I really thought there was going to be a little bit more of an overcorrection with, you know, I think we both agreed last week about how, where the Predators were last week. Staying in 17th. And if you look at where they are now, they're one of the best teams in the NHL. And, you know, we're still in that weird section, I guess, of where we're still kind of giving some teams the benefit of the doubt because of the discrepancy in games that each team has. So it's not a big deal, but still a little bit of a surprise. especially, and then even with below them, the Vegas Golden Knights, I think they're going to jump up now that Eichel is on the ice practicing. I think that we're going to see, regardless win or lose, I think we're going to see Vegas jump up.
Well, but he's still a few weeks away, isn't he?
Yeah, but I think all the hype that is surrounding this team now with him back on the ice, yes, 2 days ago, I think that we're going to see, you know, kind of like what we saw with Panthers and the Canes, just the hype around them. I think we're going to see the Knights get the benefit of the doubt and get moved up. And you might see the Capitals bump, go down a little bit. What was there any surprises for you with this top 10? Do you think the Penguins are maybe ranked a little high? That's a little bit of a surprise, but they definitely earned it. I think they've been playing fantastic lately.
Yeah, and that's the thing with like we say with power rankings is it's more immediate. It's more of like what's going on right now. And right now the Penguins are flying high. I think the Predators are kind of where they are. And I think some people might look at, well, the Predators are number one in the division. They're number eight, and the Avalanche are 3 points behind them, third in the division at number four. You can take some qualms with that. I wouldn't be against that. And then you do have to look at the games in hand, and the Avalanche have three games in hand on the Predators, and they're only 3 points behind them. The way that game ended the other day was atrocious, and it could have went either. I'm not saying that. Well, I am saying that call really won it for the Predators, but if that call never happened, the too many men on the ice for the Avalanche, which is still a mystery, and the Avalanche pick up the extra point. Now the Avs are 1 point behind them, and it's a, you know, maybe a little bit people could accept this a little more. Regardless, that happened yesterday from when we're recording this, so that really wouldn't come into play for this week. And the Avalanche have been playing very well. They've been playing, they're getting on track. They've been on track, so they're playing very well. I think the Leafs are fine at number five. I would have liked to see the Rangers and the Capitals switched. I think Rangers up at six, the Capitals down at seven. Even though the Capitals have 49 points, again, this is more of what have you done lately, and they haven't been playing too well lately, right? I mean, they're not trying to say.
They're so-so.
Three in a row.
Yeah, they're so. I mean, they're not playing terribly. We're not ready to four drop them out of they've the lost. Top 10.
No, but they've lost four in a row, though. So, I mean, if you're going on the previous week, that's all the games from last week they've lost those four. So, but I think you're right. I think Vegas is, Vegas held on, and they were never really out of this left hand column in our rankings, and they just stayed afloat through all of those injuries. And now, Pacioretty's going to be gone for a while, but you're getting Eichel back. The rest of the team is starting to come back, and watch out. The Knights could be making a ascent towards the top, but can anybody unseat Florida and the Canes? It seems like they have a lock on number one and number two. Your Lightning are right there. The Leafs are a solid team. The Avalanche, I don't know if any of those teams can really unseat the Panthers and the Canes right now. It just seems like they have a stranglehold on those two rankings.
I just think really what we have to look at the top spot for, and maybe this sounds a little biased on my end because Lightning are right there in the division as well, along with the Florida Panthers. But if we're really going to be awarding, and you stated it all the time and have to remind me that these rankings are based on what have you done for me in the past week. Mm. I still think that we should look at the first spot as, all right, what have you done for me in the past week? And where are you currently in the overall league standings? Because if we were going to go by that, then really the Panthers and the Lightning should be 1-2. Now, whether or not you want to do it by points percentage or whatever the case may be, that's entirely on you. But I think that the Hurricanes, when you look at them, they're sitting atop the division, but so are the Rangers. So shouldn't the Rangers, by that reasoning, should be a little bit higher? I think that really if you're ranking the top three or even the top spot, like I said, I think we need to take that into consideration.
So, I mean, but at this stage in the game, do you kind of feel, Yeah, I mean, all right, the Panthers are at number one, and that has the title of being number one. It's like the number one seed in the NCAA basketball tournament.
Yeah.
It's a title. It's like it makes you feel good. It makes you feel like there's that much of a drop-off between those two spots in the rankings.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I stay out of the ranking system every time we vote, because, I mean, that's a question that really you and I could spend an entire show just – based off of where the reasoning is. I mean, that answer could go either way. So it's one of those things where I think that maybe after we have the break in February and we see where everybody is, I think maybe the narrative will start to shift a certain way in terms of how people would view these rankings, whether it's, you know, the Locked On hosts that are dictating them, not us, you and me singularly, but also the fans are our listeners that love to comment back at us on YouTube and
love it.
So I think, I think with the rankings changing every week, I think we also need to shift our opinion on how teams should be seated.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I think next week the Panthers are going to be locked into number one simply for the entertainment that they provided, in their, suites. That was, going on when was that? Wednesday
that was,
night? I don't know how you remove them from number one. I mean, that is family friendly fun right there.
Gotta
craziness.
Love it. Gotta love it.
All right. Other teams, I'm looking at the Flames, and man, like they were on the rise, you know, weeks ago, several weeks ago. I think at one point they were number four. I could be mistaken in that, but they were close to that. I mean, they were top five. Easily, they were top five. And they just seem to have fallen back into like mediocrity. And right now they are 15 on our rankings. They've dropped out of the top 10. They were number nine last week. I think that's a team that people wanted to just hang on to. Just let, you know, give them another week in the top 10. Maybe they can have a solid week where they run through some teams. And it hasn't happened. They've lost three in a row. Their last 10, they're 3-6-1. Where they've got 40 points on the season in 33 games. But this is a team that was, you know, their namesake. They were hot.
Yeah.
And they have completely cooled off. I don't watch a ton of Flame games. I don't know the reason. I don't know how much you keep up with them, but it's kind of confusing because they were a flying high team in terms of scoring, and they've just lost the touch, it seems like.
Well, the Lightning had the pleasure of playing them this past week, and that's really the first time I've seen them play all year. And what I could see is that they're just one of those teams where they have very good goaltending, but almost right now at this point in the season, a problem that we've both actually heavily criticized the Islanders for having. And it's, they don't really have a guy that could go out there and score consistently from what I saw in the game against the Lightning. There really wasn't that one person, you know, there's Andrew Mangiapane, but he's also a rookie. So, you know, how much can you, it's really not a good, successful long-term plan if you're basing your night-to-night success on a rookie on your team who, let's face it, he was the hottest player in the league for about the first 4 weeks of the season. Mm-hmm. But it was one of those situations that I saw where guys like Gaudreau, Tkachuk, and Lindholm, you really didn't see that one guy really go out there and really just kind of take charge. And I mean, alongside guys like Blake Coleman, who it was bittersweet to see him play for the first time since being on the Lightning. But they don't really have that guy could really go out there and just, you know, kind of be a threat, where I wasn't looking at the pregame report and being like, all right, we have to watch out for this person on the Flames. And I think that might be their problem.
I'm kind of looking at, you know, team stats. Seems like they're a little bit top heavy. Obviously, I have Gaudreau and Tkachuk, Lindholm, Mangiapane.
Yeah.
And then after that, I mean, it's a smattering of pretty, you know, okay mid-range guys, but and let's see. I mean, Coleman, 11 points. I mean, I think that's about where he's at, though. I mean, I don't think they're expecting miracles from Blake Coleman to come in and do anything.
No.
But he's a good depth guy, but that was what they got him for. And I'm not saying it's not working out, but it's just, you know, and so like the Flames are one team and then the Oilers are the other one.
Yeah.
Those guys, I mean, maybe even more so than the Flames, have just fizzled out. And right now they are sitting at 19. They dropped from 13 to 19. And for a, you know, several weeks in a row, it was, we're talking about the Panthers and Canes being number one, number two. The Oilers were number three. It was almost a three-headed monster. And they are just continuing to fall. Can the Oilers turn this around? And this goes back to, when you have the greatest player on the planet, you always have to give them the benefit of the doubt. But if the goaltending's not there and the defense is not there, you can't do it's. It's not the sport where even though you have the best player in the world, he can put the entire team on his back. It doesn't work that way in hockey. So I think the Oilers are in trouble unless they make some moves.
I mean, they're at the point right now. I didn't see what his response was, but in a presser earlier on Wednesday, Connor McDavid was asked about should they sign Evander Kane. Now, if the Oilers are, you know, regardless of what anybody's opinion about what's going on with Evander Kane is, but if you're in a situation where we're actually having a serious conversation about the Oilers signing Evander Kane, that tells me only one thing, that they're desperate, that they're just trying to see and bring on whoever they can to get things going on the bottom half of that of those lines. And I mean, do you really want a guy like that added to a situation that's already very tense?
That's dangerous. I mean, and I'm not just saying Evander Kane, like, you know, hockey wise, like he can bring something for you. You know what I mean? Skill wise, on the ice, he can bring something for something. Yeah. Do you want the off the ice headache? Yeah. And, you know, that's a question that any team that wants to sign him has to ask. And for the Oilers, I get more of the impression that they just want to bring in a body. They want to bring in someone to try to right the ship, just to throw a wrench into things and maybe just change things up a little bit. I don't think Evander Kane is that guy. But on the other hand, what do they have to lose? I mean, on the ice, off the ice, that's a whole nother situation. You know, Evander Kane's going to sign with somebody. I never for once thought he was going to be out for the rest of the season. You know, he's going to sign with somebody.
Yeah.
Is the Oilers the right fit? I don't know. But for them, the timing, I think the Oilers pull the trigger on this. If we're still talking about the Islanders in the number three spot, they don't entertain this. I don't think they would want that headache. Or the potential of the headache. And it seems like we're already getting a headache because now they're investigating him for crossing the border when he shouldn't have crossed the border. Like, you're already getting problems with this guy.
Yeah.
So we shall see. It seems like it could happen this weekend. And from what I hear, there's other teams that are interested in him too, which is not surprising. And it's probably those teams in this area, this middle of the road area, that need a jump start. Again, I don't know if Evander Kane is the guy to do that for you, but it is a name, it is a body, and on the ice, he could, if he keeps, you know, his head clean, could provide some kick for you. I wouldn't take the risk, but the Oilers, they might be in a position to do that. All right, let's hear from betonline.ag, and then we will continue and look at the kind of the bottoms of the standings, which is always, I think, our most fun part we look forward to. So BetOnline would like to wish you a happy new betting year as we continue our march to the football playoffs. And BetOnline remains the number one spot for all the best sports wagering action for 2022. It's a new year and a new updated desktop and mobile website. To sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit, just use the promo code LOCKEDON to get started. From football, basketball, hockey, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for 2022. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all of your favorite sports. It's where the game starts. That is betonline.ag. All right. Anybody else sticking out to you here? I do want to throw out, you know, maybe a little plug for the Central right here before we get to the lower teams. You have the Avalanche at 4. You got the Predators at 8. You got the Blues at 11. You got the Wild at 12. And you got your cat in the background, or is it the neighbor's cat? I don't know.
Like neighbors.
Cat's coming in at 33. you know, four teams in your division in the top 12. Kudos to the Central. On the bottom end of things, not too much movement. You know, we had a good amount of movement in the top end and a lot in the middle. Towards the bottom, not a heck of a lot. The Islanders move up to number 26, slowly creeping their way back in. Still probably not enough time, but they've gotten out of the doldrums of the basement anyway. Now they're up to 26. Blackhawks at 27, they move down one. Sabres stay the same. Kraken down two to 29. And your last three don't move. Senators, Montreal, and Arizona. So aside from those teams and maybe in the top echelon of the 20s, you know, from like 20 to 25, anybody that you find surprising? I know we talk about the Blue Jackets a lot, and they're at 23 right now. They moved down three spots. They a team that can, you know, is time running out for them to really turn it around?
I don't think the Blue Jackets are going to make any noise going forward in terms of competing legitimately for a last playoff spot. I think part of the reason they got moved down a couple of spots from last week was because they got absolutely blown out of the building by the Lightning last week.
What was that score?
7-2. So
7-2, I thought 7-3.
Yeah. Yep. So I think that's maybe part of the reason. I like the way they play. I don't think that they're a particularly terrible team, but I think they're one of those teams that we could see kind of at least make some noise towards the end. I don't think that they're going to be good enough to make the playoffs, though. But I mean, when you have a goalie combination such as they do, I mean, anything could happen.
Mm. And just if you're looking at the standings from a wild card perspective, you know, is it insurmountable? They have 33 points. They are 7 points out of the second wild card spot held by Boston, who's got 40 and two games in hand. Boston does over them. So yeah, I think it's just kind of insurmountable for them. I don't feel like they are that team that can go on a run. You know what I mean? I'm not waiting for them to rattle off 7 in a row, 8 in a row. I just don't see it in them. But having said that, I think the future looks pretty good for the Blue Jackets, believe it or not. So it might not be this year. I think you'll get that. I think you'll get that up and down season for them all year long. And they're right there. They're 16-17-1. You're going to be a 500 team, I feel, by the end of the year. The Red Wings are right above them. The Red Wings are hanging in there, man. You know, they got 37 points. Again, that's three behind Boston. But again, look at the games in hand. Boston has 5 games in hand on the Red Wings. That doesn't bode well for the Red Wings. You are the next team below the Bruins. There's nobody in between the Red Wings and the Bruins. And when you're 3 points back, but they got 5 games in hand, that doesn't look good for you either. But I think the Red Wings, being where they are, even though they have a long mountain to climb, I think this is a positive for them. All these years that they've just been doing nothing, to at least be in a conversation like we're having right now is heading in the right direction. And that's kind of where the Red Wings have been going for the past couple of years.
Yeah, they're definitely heading in the right direction, and they're one of those teams that they surprise you on a nightly basis. I can tell you that from firsthand experience playing in the same division as them. So they're not going to win a whole bunch of games. They're not going to tally a whole bunch of points, but they're definitely going to go out there and play hard. And I think that, you know, right now where they are, you know, we're not going to see them make the playoffs, but they're definitely heading in the right direction with the organization. And maybe this time next year, we could talk about them possibly being in the top 15, but I think just being behind the Bruins and the Bruins starting to kind of get things going and just, you know, signing Tuukka Rask the other day, that's still kind of a situation that we'll look closely at as the rankings continue to come back, because you don't know what kind of player he's going to be. But
let me ask you this. Do you think the Red Wings are in the position that we're in, like we're just talking about? Do you think they're like a big mover at the trade deadline in terms of selling.
Oh yeah.
And getting some draft pick. Like, you are that team that's on the verge, and you can acquire some, maybe some prospects, obviously, and some draft picks. I don't know what you probably can't bring in a first round unless you're going to give up one of your bigger names, but you don't want to do that. But you have the opportunity to collect some prospects and maybe like a second round or something like that, and continue to add to all like these prospects that you have in this prospect pool. And then who knows what you can get in free agency. And, you know, it could be a big, trade deadline for them looking forward to next year.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if coming around the trade deadline that Steve Yzerman looks at this roster and he sees names like Mestikov and Fabry and Rasmussen, guys, and even Stahl and Nick Leddy, you know, guys that if teams are calling and he throws their name out there and they're interested, I wouldn't be surprised if anybody, a lot of these players get moved. I'm not saying it's going to be a complete fire sale in Detroit, right, but right. I wouldn't be surprised if the Red Wings finish the trade deadline with probably, I would say, maybe three picks. I think that's probably the sweet spot for the amount of picks they'll probably get back in return.
Hmm. All right. And we kind of have our like Canucks watch, and they move up a couple more spots. They're up to 21 right now. That's impressive because what were they, 30 at one point in our rankings, 29 or 30? So obviously, you know, coaching change and what are they? Let me see what they are in their last 10. 8-1-1 in the last 10. That will move you up the board. And right now they are knocking on the door of being in the teens. Can they sustain this?
I don't see why not. There's still enough time. If they keep up this pace, I mean, they're really only 9 points behind the top spot in the wild card in the West. So why not? If you could sustain 8-1-1 going forward, as long as Minnesota and San Jose don't play pretty much unbeatable hockey, I don't see a reason as to why not. We always say on this show, is there enough time to turn it around? And I think that given where they are right now, yeah, absolutely. But it all depends on if they could continue to go out there and win hockey games and accumulate points at the rate that they're going. You know, 9 points is not exactly you're in the back of the pack, but it's also one of those things where it's not like within a week's time we could talk about this team being a legitimate playoff contender.
And you just in passing mentioned the Sharks, San Jose.
Yeah.
And as of us recording this on Wednesday night, San Jose holds the second wild card spot. I feel like nobody really mentions that. And maybe the reason they don't is because they have 41 points and Calgary, as you know, we talked about Calgary earlier, even though they're not lighting up the NHL, Calgary is only trailing them by 1 point and they have 4 games in hand.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's San Jose's got that wild card spot. It's not, they don't have a firm grasp on it, but I mean, should we be talking about the Sharks more, or are they just when everybody else catches up to them? Because everybody below them has games in hand. Everybody. The Sharks have 37 games played, and the teams below them, I'll just go through the games that they've played. I won't go through the teams, but 33, 34, 33, 32. Like, everybody has games in hand on the Sharks. So should we not really, should we say like, oh yeah, the Sharks have the second wild card spot with an asterisk?
I think we should talk about them with an asterisk, but we should also talk about the LA Kings with an asterisk. You know, they're third in the Pacific, 41 points and 36 games played. So by that logic, are we looking at Los Angeles as a default wildcard team too? Because we could talk about them being out of it in a couple of weeks or so as well. I mean, just this whole Pacific division is just an absolute mess. And that's where it's hard to eat, where it's even hard to discuss these teams because it's, I guess we could finally acknowledge that Anaheim is probably the real deal. I mean, I don't know how you feel about them. Yeah, I think we could say by now that they're the real deal. But I think that really what it comes down to, and I hate to say this, but the reason it's like this is because Edmonton and Vancouver aren't playing up to expectations. But yeah, I mean, San Jose has just, they're one of those teams where I watch them play and they're not overly impressive. They just go out there and they just play average and somehow they come out with a W. It's almost as if you blacked. Yeah, it's almost as if you blacked out during the game and you woke up as the final buzzer sounded and the Sharks won. Yeah.
C's get degrees, and that, and that's how the Sharks play.
Yeah.
So, all right. So the, yeah, if you're watching on YouTube, you've been looking at the power rankings, along with our wonderful faces. But, if you are listening in your car on the radio or through your phone, you can check out, the Locked On NHL Twitter page to get the graphic and see it in detail, all of the power rankings that we have for this week. So, that'll wrap it up. And we'll be back next week with a fresh batch of power rankings. And yeah, that's pretty much it, man. Anything else you got for today?
No, I mean, hopefully by next week, we'll see the Canes possibly out of the top three for once since the season started. But
I know
I'm not holding my breath.
I hear you. All right, everybody, that's going to wrap it up. He's Mr. Adam Denker from Locked On Lightning. I am Chris Selle from Locked On Avalanche. And thank you for listening to the Thursday edition of Locked On NHL and making it your first listen of the day. That's appreciated. We'll see you guys next week.